Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and that's, who else? Billie Jean by Michael Jackson, who was born on this day in 1958 and left us much too early. We're about to have a conversation about the Black August Film Festival coming up this weekend, and they were on here last year with us. They're back again, and it's back at Morgan State University again, and we are about to have a conversation with Osamukomi.
You could just say Yeah.
And Heru, also known as Freedom of Precise Science. Good to have you both with us.
Good to be here.
Thank you.
So, and they're both members of the Black August Film Festival Tubman City Committee. So this is year number two, right?
Yes.
That is correct.
So talk a bit, for our listeners who did not go last year, are not aware of this. Yeah, why don't you just begin kind of describing what this, how this came to being?
Okay.
Go ahead, yeah.
Basically, the film festival came to be because of we feel like a necessity to show through film and through media the struggle for Black liberation to in the global diaspora, and just being able to use film and media as a way to kind of start conversation with people from all generations, to be able to really kind of have a visual, a historic experience, to encourage some of the new filmmakers to create film that address these issues in current times, so that we could continue this kind of legacy of using media in order to inform us about the conditions going on with Africans throughout the diaspora.
And Hero, you were also here from the beginning of this, right? So I
yes.
So
yes. Well, since the y'all brought me in, I think it was a natural fit, being that I am a video editor and a filmmaker myself. And for us to, you know, we've always worked around media. Her media company, to which she employs my media company, and you know, we have joint projects going back about 5 years now. So it was a desire that we both had. And you know, with her assistance and her contacts and her drive, my little bit of knowledge and my technical expertise, we put this together. And like she said, we one of my life's missions is to use media as a tool of upliftment. And we find that there's so many alternatives out here to what's being shown as the popular mainstream media that a lot of people are very surprised and glad to find. And you know, working with the youth, I always use media as a tool to, you know, give them an alternative way of looking at things. So this is what we want to do for the people on the mass scale.
And this is free and open to the public, right, in the evening? Is that right?
That is correct.
Free is hard to come by these days.
Indeed it is. And, we find that important. You know, even if it does ever incur costs, we're going to keep it, you know, extremely minimal, probably more so in a donation type capacity, because we want this to be accessible to everyone. We want to use this as a tool. We're not looking to make any profit off of it. You know, when we get to the point where we're accepting, films and shorts from other filmmakers, there may be some fees incurred with that, just so we can get everything set up and viewed in time. But until then, you know, we're going to keep this as free or as low cost as possible.
Exactly.
So one of let's go through some of the films going to be there, because there's so many exciting films that are coming to bring to the festival. I'm going to play this clip first.
Greetings. Welcome back once again. Kitty here, Chef Kitty, to talk to you once again about this miracle we call living superfood. Let your food be your medicine, and medicine ain't never tasted like this before. Today I want to talk about living food versus raw food. And why do we call ours not raw food, but living food? Life begets life. Death begets death. Some people do what I do. They talk about the culture of life versus the culture of death. All very important concepts. I want to break it down to just one simple word. Chewicide. A lot of us are out here committing chewicide. And I think our true mind, our conscious mind, our unconscious mind, our internal processes can figure this out, that we know that eating the junk food, eating the fast food, and eating much of what is just standard American fare has produced a disaster for a lot of people. So we want to get out of that long, long line of people committing suicide, and we want to get in that line, relatively short line, but it's growing at a rapid rate, of people eating life, living life, moving towards life.
And so what we just heard came from Chewicide. So let's talk about this film and Cuddy Awadu and what this movie was about, this doc piece, because we see all these docs about food and what we eat, and they've made big hits, but this is the first time I've seen one actually made by an African-American filmmaker.
Yes, and Kiwi Awadu is a very close Jegna. That's the African word that replaces mentor. He's a close Jegna to myself, and I say to Sister Ya, and Reality exactly. Speaks as well. And he approaches it from, you know, an African-centered viewpoint. And, you know, he's a very... he's a personality, we'll say. And,
yes, he
character.
Is.
And, you know, he does it in a fun way. And what's even better is, you know, he's a living superfood specialist himself. You know, he's a chef to the stars out in L.A. and in Las Vegas. So he provides solutions as well. He doesn't just tell you how bad it is and everything. He gives you some hardcore solutions. And I've been using his Raw Live Cookbook for the last 3 years now. And I haven't even gotten, you know, I haven't been at the surface, because once you get a dish you like, you run with it for a little while. So yeah, Chewicide is a great movie, and it breaks it down in simple terms of, you know, the harmful things that we're doing to our body, and really, you know, makes you go inward and ask the question why, and gives you alternatives and solutions so that you don't have to continue.
Vial, do you want to jump in on any of that?
No, I mean, I definitely agree with Haru. You know, Brother Kiti Owadu has been working with us in various capacities for several years, and he's really always, like, ahead of his time in what he's producing and what he's, you know, giving to the public. And this documentary is... one that I think people would really want to see, because it helps us understand some of the reasons why we do the things that we do when it comes to how we engage our diet. Because a lot of times we know that what we're eating is causing us to have diseases, it's causing us to, you know, not feel our best, but we continue to eat it. And there has to be a reason why we continue to do that. And so he kind of gets into that, and he helps us, like Haru said, provide some solutions for us. So we really appreciate what Brother Kiti Owadu continues to do for the Black community and the community at large.
And now you also have one of the most historic great films made by one of the most brilliant minds as a writer and as a filmmaker, Sam Greenlee's Spook Who Sat by the Door. Let's hear a little bit of this.
I have another job for you, Willie.
What's that?
We need money. So I have a bank job, Case. The only thing about it is I can't have the job connected with the Cobras.
How are you going to do that?
We use Red Beans, Benny Rooster, Paul Monte, JT, Johnny, and Tom. And you lead the team.
All the yellows again, right? Look, man, I am tired of that. I am not passing. I am black. Do you hear me, man? Do you understand? I am black. I'm a nigga. You understand me? I was born black. I live black. And I'm gonna die probably because I'm black. Because some cracker that knows I'm black better than you again is probably gonna put a bullet in the back of my head.
So we just heard a piece of Spook Who Sat by the Door, which you all did last year. And this year you're going to do something a bit different with Sam Greenlee. I mean, he passed away. We lost him. But he's clearly one of the really a brilliant mind and one of the a great thinker and just an intellect that we kind of pass by in some ways when we look at our culture. So what do you all plan to do with Sam Greenlee if you're not sure in the film? What's going to happen?
Well, we definitely want to dedicate a portion of this film fest to Baba Sam. I had the pleasure of getting to know him on a personal level in 2005, and we kept in touch, you know, through periodically over the years. But this year we're going to show a documentary that was done. I'm sorry, I don't have her name off the top of my head, but it's Infiltrating Hollywood.
Okay.
Infiltrating Hollywood, the rise and fall of the Spook Who Sat by the Door. And it really gives you the in-depth story of how Baba Sam Greenlee got the film made, all the tricks he had to pull, all the guerrilla shooting that he did in Chicago, how some of the scenes turned into real life, like the riot scene. It's real famous, how that became an actual riot. So it's a very telling story. It's very good for filmmakers to see of the trials and tribulations of the Suku Sabado, how it got pulled off the shelf after only being shown for 2 weeks in major theaters, and then how it reemerged until the cult classic that we know it as today.
I mean, one of the things that really got to me in that documentary, y'all, was that I mean, they literally tried to destroy the film, every copy they could get, but they didn't know he had hold of the negative thing, couldn't get to it.
Right, exactly. I mean, it was buried, it was destroyed. They thought they got rid of it, but he kept it alive. And, you know, not only do we thank him for the book and for making the movie, but for holding on to that copy so that future generations could enjoy it the way we do.
So let's talk about these other two things that I know you have there. And they're both really, really powerful, dramatic films made by an incredible director. And you're going to be showing both Lumumba and you're going to be showing Sometimes in April, right? Both?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a bit about this and this filmmaker.
Well, we wanted to also bring in, because the theme is dealing with the diaspora and not just dealing with the issues that we see within the United States, we wanted to have an international component to the festival. And so talking to Heru and we, you know, going through different clips and trying to decide which movies we wanted to show, we came across Sometimes in April. And we both, I think Heru has seen the movie before and had some prior, you know, knowledge about the movie, but we really thought it would be a good film to show in order to show a different side of what was happening in Rwanda, and be able to let people see the kinds of challenges that we face in the diaspora when it comes to our liberation and when it comes to the types of oppression that we deal with. And so we felt that this film really helps to speak to that in a different way than other films on the Rwanda situation. So this was one of the reasons why we chose Sometimes in April. And also because one of the stars of it is Idris Elba.
Idris Elba.
And I don't think many people have seen him, you know, perform in this role, and we felt like that would also be a draw for people to want to see the film and, you know, gain the knowledge that the film has to give.
I think it is an incredible movie. I mean, and Raoul Peck, who's directed both of these films, Lumumba and Sometimes in April, is an amazing director, a Haitian-born director, who does, you know, documentary films and dramatic films and. He's amazing. So
and he's also a political activist, and that kind of ties into, you know, what we are trying to encourage, especially new filmmakers, young filmmakers out there, is that your work, you know, is your activism. And so, you know, by, you know, choosing two films by Raoul Peck, it kind of helps us really hone that message in, that you can be successful in filmmaking and still have an activist component to your message.
So let's go to this film Lumumba. Not many people in America have seen this film.
This is true. It is subtitled. You know, it's done
in French.
The French language. You know, it's as authentic as possible. The brother who plays Lumumba is a spitting image of Lumumba. For all accounts, you know, from the other historians that I've been able to talk to, and from my own knowledge of what was going on in the Congo at that time, it's an extremely accurate account of what happened during that time of Lumumba's rise and the split in the country with Katanga and the actual murdering of Lumumba. So it really gives you it's a docudrama, for lack of a better word, just like Sometimes in April. You know, it's historically accurate, and it's played with the emotion and the ferocity that you would, that real life story played out with. It's a phenomenal film. I can't tell you how many times I've seen it, at least 12. And I never get tired of it. I see something new every time. I pick up something new every time. So I thought that this would be, you know, like she said, we want to have an international component. We want to have a feature film component. We want to have historically accurate component. And that movie wraps all of that up with a bow on it.
You know, and one of the things, y'all, about Raoul Peck and his films, I mean, you know, when you saw, well, I guess most of us saw the Don Cheadle in
Hotel Rwanda.
Hotel Rwanda, right.
Hotel Rwanda.
But what Raoul Peck does in his films, that they're so vivid and powerful in the reality of the scenes. He doesn't pull punches when he makes a movie. You
right.
know, it's
right.
in your face. You're going to feel what went on and feel what people went through. And I think that's this is so people have to think prepared, to see a Raoul Peck film.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
You make a
great
point.
Yeah, because one of the things when they compare this film with Hotel Rwanda, you know, they talk about how in this film, sometimes in April, you know, some of the gruesome scenes, some of the things that, you know, that was really going on there, like you said, you see it. He's making it so that, you know, it's not sugar-coated in any way. You know, you leave understanding that this was a gruesome, horrific situation.
And I also like the way I'm sorry, go ahead, yeah. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I would also love just the way the film begins, just to lay out the history of how, you know, the very briefly in the beginning of the film, how he lays out the history that the Tutsi and the Twa and the Hutu spoke the same mm-hmm. language, had the same religion, and it wasn't until colonialism that destroyed that entire relationship.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that was a very powerful piece. And also Lumumba's important, I think. I'll let you all talk about that again a little bit about that. I mean, it's because many people know the name because it's a name that people hear, but it's like Pepsi-Cola.
Right.
People don't know who he is,
right.
or what he was.
And you know, the pivotal role that he played, you know, in gaining their pseudo-independence and then seeing how the colonialist rulers were still had their hand in there by causing that split in his country. And because he was so outspoken, because he was so nationalist, because he was so clear in his ideology, he proved a great impassable, you know, they had to get rid of him, for lack of a better
mm-hmm.
word.
Right.
And you see what's still going on in the Congo today is a result of that nationalism versus that colonialism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the resources that are still being stripped from there. That should be, for all accounts and purposes, should be a very rich country because it's very rich in resources. The civil wars that are still going on there, the rebels that are controlling the mining operations and other resources, all of these are affected by what happened with Patrice Lumumba. And this was at a time when America was going through a lot of turmoil as well in the 60s. So it's good to parallel, you know, we talk about Pan-Africanism. We need to know how racism, white supremacy is being played out throughout the world and how it parallels situations and how we're not isolated or special over here. And, you know, we can draw those parallels and come up with some better solutions.
Now, exactly.
I really do love Raoul Peck's work. So I really encourage people to come out and participate in this and see this and be part of this discussion and film. So talk about where and how people can get to this. Now, what are all the specifics of the event?
Okay, so this year we're going to be at Morgan State University, and we're going to be in the Murphy Fine Arts Building at the Turpin Lamb Theater. It's from 11 a.m. this Saturday until 8:45, 9 p.m. We're going to have screenings going on all day. We encourage people to come out to as many screenings as they want. Again, it's free. And we'll have screenings going on throughout the day. We'll have some vendors there as well. And we're doing this in conjunction with the Institute of Urban Research with Dr. Ray Winbush. And we just encourage people to come out and to participate. It's free.
And Haru, what time is which? Did you know which time which film is playing? When?
Yes.
Yes.
We have the schedule right here. The first film will be a montage of the Hidden Colors series. That starts off the day. And I believe that's at 11, right, Yaa?
Yes.
Okay. And then from there, we go to Chuasai, which starts at 1 o'clock. The Sam Greenlee tribute and the documentary Infiltrating Hollywood starts at 2:45. We'll have an intermission from 4 to 4:45 with a possible special guest filmmaker. At 5 p.m. starts the Raoul Peck sometimes in April, and then we conclude at 7:30 with Lumumba.
Be a very powerful day. You all have put together an amazing series, and we encourage everyone just to come out. So it's here at Morgan State University's campus at the Murphy Fine Arts Center, right? That's where it's going to be all day long.
Yes,
right.
Murphy Fine Arts Building, Turpin Lamb Theater.
So you have a lunch break?
Yes, we do. Right after Chewicide, you know, what else will we do?
Go out and buy a hot dog right after Chewicide.
So, right after Chewicide.
This has been good. I'm really, it's wonderful this is happening at Morgan State University's campus, and you all have put so much energy into doing this. And Asun Mukome and Heru, it's great to talk to both of you. Good luck Saturday, and I hope it's a huge turnout.
Thank you so
much.
On our way to break, we're hearing Pretty Woman by Roy Orbison, released on this day in 1964.
I don't believe you, you're not the truth. No one could look as good as you. Mercy.